Wonderful Holy Spirit, we welcome your awesome presence in revealing your word to our hearts for this hour. And Father, I thank you for anointing your people to receive your anointed word in Jesus' name. To the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verses 40 and verses 41. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 21 through 23. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Our teaching comes today. We need an exodus. We need an exodus. We are living in a time when there are so many people that's bound by so many things. And we as God's people can often be put in predicaments, can often be put in situations and circumstances where we ourselves need an exodus. The word exodus means a departure, to leave, to exit, to come out from a place, a situation, or problem in order to go into a better place. I want you to notice the words in Exodus chapter 12, verses 41. In the latter part of verse 41, went out from the land. Went out from. That's an exodus. We are in a time when God wants to bring us out from many things we may be in that's not good for us. And I'm going to bring out some points in the areas that we need an exodus in. There are many people in our world today that's in sin. And they need an exodus from sin before sin be their ruin. But we notice in our text, after being in Egypt, the children of Israel, 430 years, being in the same place, doing the same thing, day in, day out, day in and day out. It becomes monotonous. It becomes boring. But understand something. There is no joy in bondage. There is no peace in bondage. There is no happiness in bondage. There is no contentment in bondage. Oh yeah, we may look at people in the world. They may have a lot of things from the natural, but they're just as miserable as you can imagine. They have a lot going from the natural, but they're miserable. They don't have peace. They don't have rest. They don't have joy. In spite of all what they may have, they still don't have real peace. Because Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. neither let it be afraid. The children of Israel was in Egypt 430 years. I want you to think for a moment what you're facing right now and how long you have been where you are. Look at the time you've been in what you're in. And just think for a moment of the things you have encountered being there. The distressful times. The mood swings you have underwent. I could imagine in my mind what these people went through mentally. And bondage affects every part of your being. Your mind, your spirit, your heart, your attitude, everything about you, even your physical body, is affected by bondage. We need an exodus. In verse 41, it came to pass, all the hosts of the Lord went out from. As I brought out, an exodus is a departure, to leave, to exit. What I want you to grab in this teaching is this. We need an exodus, is right. But God cannot give us an exodus if we are satisfied where we are and like we are. God sees the problems we're facing. God sees the circumstances we may be in. He feels what we carry. He understands everything about us. But God cannot make us come out of nothing we're satisfied being in. If you're happy in the circumstance you're in, you're going to stay there. God parted the Red Sea, as you know, for the Israelites. But do you not know that God did not pick them up and carry them through? They had to walk themselves through. God will do His part. But then we must do our part. God does what we can't do. So that means God is expecting us to do what we can. God parted the Red Sea because God knew they couldn't do it. But their part was to walk through what God just parted. What am I saying? God wants to give us an exodus, a departure. He wants to give us a means of escaping what we are in right now that's not good for us, that's not healthy for us. And let me give you these different things we need an exodus from. Number one, we need an exodus from religion to a personal relationship with Jesus. Oh, many of you that's listening to me, you're so religious. I mean, you're so deep. You know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But do you know the God of that Bible that you're reading? Because if you just know the Bible, you're just reading the Bible. That ain't really hitting on nothing if the Bible is not in you and changing you. We need an exodus from religious astate, from being religious to a personal relationship. Two total different things. You cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and still be religious. It just don't work. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Jesus Christ did not come to give man religion, but a relationship with the Father. So number one, we need an exodus from religion to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What do you mean religion? You go to church every Sunday, you pay your dues, you've been baptized in water. You write your name on a church's roll. You say that you're present. But you ain't living a nickel worth of dog meat. Your life is ragged as a can of sauerkraut. And you're just as crooked as a barrel of fish hooks. But yet you're in church amity. You're in a building. You need to come from religion to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Your life does not match your conversation. You're saying one thing, but you're doing something else. So we need an exodus from religion to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you do not get a personal relationship with Jesus by shaking a preacher's hand, by putting your name on a church's roll, by going down in the water. No, no. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he didn't say in water. He didn't say in the church. He didn't say in religion. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That's why there's no change in your life, my friend, because you are not in Christ, because you have not surrendered your life to Christ. But keep listening to this message, and I promise you, if Jesus Christ is not your personal Lord, after this message, and after knowing, you will come to discover how Jesus Christ can be your personal Lord, where you will now begin to see changes happening in your life. Number two, we need an exodus from darkness, which is sin, to light, to living right. We need to come out of sin in order to come into salvation. We cannot live in the world and live for Jesus at the same time. The Bible said, no man can serve two masters. It won't work. A husband cannot have a wife and a sweetheart, which I know many of you listening to me might just be doing that kind of stuff. It's going to backfire and blow up in your face. If you're married to your wife, stick with your wife. You shouldn't have no sweetheart, period. We need a exodus from darkness into light. Number three, we need an exodus from excuses to having a word. I want to talk to you about this one. There's so many of you that's listening to me. You are so full of excuses as to why you're not saved. You're so full of excuses. You may be saved, why you're not faithful to Christ. You're so full of excuses why you don't come to church. Because you're too tired or you have to go to work. You're more faithful to your job than to the God who blessed you with this job. You better wake up and get you a cup and get a taste of this coffee before the fire be turned out from under the pot. We need an exodus from excuses to having a word. There's so many of us, you don't have a word. And it's an old cliche. A person without a word is no person at all. And you know it's sad when people tell you they're going to do something. And you know what make it worse? When they don't do it, and don't come back and tell you why they didn't do it. You just made matters even more disastrous. We need an exodus from excuses to having a word. If you see you can't do something, be honest enough to say, I can't do this. Don't tell people you're going to do something and then don't do it. That makes people know the kind of character you have, which is none. Number four, we need an exodus from complaining to praising God. We need to come out of complaining about murmuring and fussing about what ain't working in. Because when you consider, your complaining is getting you nowhere. Don't lose your praise. In everything, give thanks. Now, I didn't say thank God for the trouble, but thank God He has brought you out of it. So we need an exodus from complaining to praising God. You know why many of you are still in the situations you're in? Because of your mouth. You're snared by the words of your mouth. You're complaining, you're fussing, you're cutting up, and some of you probably even cussing. All of that has got you in the predicament you're in. When you stop fussing and cussing and start praising God for what He's already done, God then begins to bring you out of what you're in. Ooh, glory to God. Number five. We need an exodus from lukewarmness to being a blaze of fire. We need to come out of being lukewarm and cold and indifferent and unconcerned and don't care to becoming a ball of fire for the kingdom. I know in Revelation, Jesus spoke to the local assembly at Laodicea. There was lukewarm. He wasn't talking to sinners. That was to the church. Believers in the body of Christ. Sitting up in a church every Sunday and just as lukewarm, cold as a block of ice. Cold like the North Pole. We need an exodus from lukewarmness to becoming a blaze of fire. Number six. We need an exodus from playing church to total surrendering to Jesus. We need to come out of playing church, going through the motions, trying to impress people, trying to get people to think you owe that when you ain't nothing. We need an exodus from playing church. Dress up with suits, dress up with dresses, tote Bibles, and just as mean as a bear. We need an exodus from playing church to getting real with God and letting people know, I ain't all what you think. Yeah, I'm saved by grace, but I'm saved and I still have problems. I'm saved, but I'm not perfect. He's still working on me. I'm saved and I preach and I still make mistakes. We need an exodus from playing church to getting real with God. Do you not know that's the only way you can reach people in this hour? People need to know what Jesus saved you from. And when we come with these old sophisticated testimonies, like you've been born again and I've been saved all my life. Quit your lying and tell folk what God saved you from. Used to shoot dope. Used to peddler stuff. You was a prostitute. You was a homosexual. You was a gossiper. You was a whoremonger. Tell folk the truth what He saved you from. You give them hope to know He can do the same for them. Because if Jesus can save you, you need to tell them He can save anybody. So we need an exodus from playing church to getting real with God. Give a real testimony. What God saved you from. How low down you used to be. How filthy and nasty you was. And quite as kept, many of you probably still like that. Sitting up in a church. Got folks thinking you owe that when you ain't nothing. Get real with God. Number seven, we need an exodus from the world's way of doing things to biblical ways of getting things done. Now I'm going to talk to you about this one too. We need a departure. We need to come out of the world's way of getting stuff. See, the world tried to get stuff through the lottery. Uh-oh. By pulling that one-arm slot machine. Uh-oh. I don't hear nobody saying nothing out there. You know why? Well, glory. We need an exodus from the world's way of getting money. God's way of you being blessed is not the lottery. Not going to the racetrack or to the dog track or gambling. Bring your other tithes into the storehouse. You know why many of you saints don't have nothing? Because you're not tithing. You're robbing God and you put yourself under a curse. Your blessing comes through your giving, through your tithing. Is the seed yet in the barn? If you're taking the 10% that belongs to God and spending it, everything you get becomes cursed now. You're taking God's money and getting your hair fixed. You're taking God's money and getting your nails fixed. That's why your nails breaking. That's why you're losing your hair. Amen. We need an exodus from the world's way of doing things to biblical ways of getting things done. You want to be blessed by God? Pay your tithes. You want to be blessed by God? Sow seeds into the kingdom. Sow into ministries that's been a blessing to your life. Then God in turn bless you. Listen, if you do not sow seed, you cannot get a harvest. And God's way of blessing you is through your giving to His work. Not just the ministry where you at. Yes, pay tithes in the church where you're being fed and taught. But pray and ask God to lead you in sowing into other ministries that's been a blessing to your personal life. I sow into other ministries apart from where we are. I give to other ministries. Why? Because God using other ministers to be a blessing to my personal life. And that's biblical ways of getting things. Next, we need an exodus from our old ways and attitudes to godly ways and character. I often hear people say, you see, if I wasn't saved, I would do this and I would do that. We need an exodus from that kind of thinking. Our mindset must change. We need a departure from our old ways of dealing with people. Somebody holler at you, you holler back at them. What kind of example are we really to this world as the body of Christ? If we are doing what people in the world are doing, how can we really reach them for the kingdom? If we are dressing and looking like them, I'm going to tell this is right. If we are looking like them, how can we reach them? Where is the distinction between light and darkness? Where is the distinction between right and wrong? Where is the difference between holiness and whorishness? Where is it? It's missing in the body of Christ. And God wants to give us an exodus from our old ways and attitudes to godly ways and character. Remember, saints of God, people are watching you. Their eyes are on you. When you tell somebody you're saved, they're going to watch to see if your life matches your words. And next, finally, we need an exodus from the wrong people and places to being with those who can help us and tell us the truth. You know what's so sad today? The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. We need an exodus from hanging with the wrong people. Because one sinner destroys much good. You can hang with a person who ain't even thinking about getting saved. And before you know it, your attitude toward Christ, your attitude toward the Bible, your attitude toward Christianity, period, begins to alter. Why? Because that person you're around is influencing you rather than your life influencing them to change to become a saint. They're now influencing your life to come back into old ways that God then saved you from. Wake up. We need an exodus from the wrong people. Solomon said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And you know why oftentimes we as saints can be enticed by sinners? Because we find ourselves hanging around them, enjoying their conversation. We enjoy stuff they talk about, we sometimes be ungodly, and what you don't realize is this. That's being picked up in your spirit. And before you know it, you find yourself repeating stuff you heard somebody not say speaking. You find yourself cussing, oh, Lord, that slipped. No, it didn't slip, it's there. Because you've been entertaining that kind of stuff. We need an exodus. Now, How do we get in Exodus? How will God give us a departure? Number one, by realizing the areas we are bound in. Listen, in our text, the Israelites recognized the place they was in, as well as the people they was around. Egypt was the location. The Egyptian was the people that had them bound in Egypt. We must recognize the areas we are bound in. Before God can give us an exodus, we must see the areas we are bound in. Number two, by telling the Lord exactly where we are bound at and what we are bound with. Number two, we must be honest with the Lord and tell Him, Lord, I recognize I'm bound in this situation. I'm bound to that situation. I've been bound by greed. I've been bound by jealousy. I've been bound by envy. I see others getting this and I become bound because I was trying to figure out why they got that and I don't have nothing. You must be honest with the Lord and tell Him the truth. Lord, I'm bound and only You can bring me out of this. Number three, by asking Him to deliver us and to bring us out. By asking Him, Father, I recognize I'm bound by jealousy. Whatever it might be honest with God and tell Him, I've been bound by this, I've been bound to this person, I've been bound to this location. Father, set me free from this. Number four, by asking Him to teach you from His Word how to stay free. Listen, it don't make sense for God to bring us out, give us an exodus from circumstances and situations, and then we lack knowledge how to stay out. God now must educate us from His Word how to stay free from what had us bound. Number five, by staying in prayer and in the Word. And number six, by becoming faithful to Bible study and prayer meetings, that's for your good. Listen, when God brought Israel out of Egypt, do you not know God cannot stop them from going back? What is God saying to us? We need an exodus. God wants to give us an exodus. But it don't make sense for God to bring us out and we find ourselves going right back in. Because I think it's in the book of Numbers. They was talking about going back to Egypt. A place where they was oppressed. A place where they was depressed. A place where they was sad and disgusted. Now they have the audacity to fix their mouth to talk about going back to a place they've been crying out to God to bring them out and talk about going back to Egypt. And there are many of you listening to me. You're on the verge of going back into the old lifestyle that God then brought you out of. Just like Israel began to talk about going back to Egypt after God gave them an exodus, a departure, an escape. There are many of you listening to me. You feel like giving up. You feel like quitting. You feel like it's not even worth this anymore. You've been waiting on God, and you're wondering, why is it taking so long? Why God not answering my prayers? Why do I have to go through what I'm going through? I'm seeing other people getting things, and they're being blessed. Has God forgotten about me? My friend, God has not forgotten about you. God is a God of timing. And God has the time set to answer what you ask Him. God has the time set to bring you out of what you're in. Notice in our text, 430 years, then God brings them out after all of that time. And God has not forgotten you, my brother, my sister. God wants you to trust Him, to hold on to Him, and not give up, not throw in the towel, not quit, but just take Him at what He promised you. Sometimes all you have is what God said to go on with in life. Because sometimes you might not see nothing. Let me tell you from experience. Sometimes I didn't even know. I wondered. I was hoping. I was trusting. And I wonder why was God taking so long answering certain things I was asking Him. I've come to learn this, and I hope this be a help to you. While you're waiting on God, God is developing you for what He promised you. Please listen to me good. Before God answer your prayers, God is preparing you for the answer. You have to be ready for the answer. Because if you're not ready, you can miss your answer. So God prepares you to answer you. And when the time is right, God will answer what you've been asking Him. But in the meantime, while you're praying, while you're seeking Him, while you're being faithful to what He assigned you to do, you're being developed and prepared so when God gives you the answer, you will thank Him for it and you'll keep going. Oftentimes, we get answers from God and stop praying. Worst mistake. We get blessings from God and stop seeking Him. We stop living right. We stop giving. Wrong thing to do. That's why God prepares you for the answer. We need an exodus. And regardless of what it is, my friend, that you need to be brought out of, God stands ready to bring you out today. If Jesus Christ is not your personal Lord and Savior, the greatest exodus you need, my friend, is to be brought out of sin so you can come into salvation. But that's a matter of your choice. Note something. We need an exodus. God wants to give us an exodus. But God can only give us a departure, an escape route, if we want it. And the question comes to you. Do you want an exodus from what you're in? Do you want an exodus from the situation you're facing? Jesus is your answer. And if Jesus Christ is not your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to know, my friend, you need an exodus from sin into salvation. Because if you die without Jesus Christ being your personal Lord and Savior, you will go to a place He did not design for you to go. And that place is called hell. But you can make an exodus today, my friend, a departure. Because Jesus made it possible for you to escape hell and come to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. If you're not saved, my friend, and you want an exodus from sin, bow your head at this moment. I want to pray with you. I want you to repeat this prayer from your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You came to planet Earth. You hung on a cross. You shed Your blood for my sins. You died and You was buried and You rose again. I believe You're alive right now. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in Your blood. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life from this day forward. I surrender all to You, Lord Jesus. And I thank You for giving me an exodus from sin into salvation, from hell into heaven, in Jesus' name. My friend, if you're already saved and you're waiting on God to bring you out of certain things you've been facing, I want to take this time to pray for you. Loving Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for sending Your word. And I thank You for touching my brother, touching my sister that's facing something right now. And they've been waiting on You, Blessed One, to bring them out. God, I thank You for giving them deliverance. I thank you for giving them victory and breakthrough even now. I thank you for giving them an exodus from this person, from this circumstance, from this problem, bringing them out from where they are into another place you designed for them to be. And God, I thank you for strengthening my brother, strengthening my sister as they wait before you for the answer. God, I thank you right now for fresh anointing. I give you praise for fresh oil being poured into their hearts as they wait before you. Because your word declared, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And Father, I thank you for renewing my brother and my sister's strength as they wait before you. I give you praise. I give you glory and I give you honor in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus. We need an exodus.